Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few. And he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
This conference is being recorded.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to everybody. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Welcome to our morning broadcast, first Friday of April 2020. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. For all things. And we just honor to allow God to for us to still be in the land of living, especially with so much chaos going on in our land right now. Well, we're going to give the floor over to Mother Thelma Sidney, and then we will come back for a commercial, and then, hallelujah, amen, we're going to go into our questions and comments, and then we have a guest speaker, amen, hallelujah, Elder John Jones, hallelujah, from Indianapolis, Indiana. All right, Mother, it's all yours.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you this morning for another day, that we never seen before. We just want to say thank you. You're the one, Lord God, that touched us this morning, Lord God. You're the one, Lord God, said you allowed the Spirit to wake up this morning, God, and give us another chance, God, just to get it right with you. Lord God, we thank you today, God. In the midst of everything that's going on, God, we yet still have hope. We yet still have your grace and your mercy upon us, God. Lord God, you said we are a city that sit on the hill that cannot be hid. You said that we are the salt of the earth, God. And in this time of COVID-19, God, the coronavirus, Lord God, we have to be that light that sit on the hill, God. We have to be the salt, God. Lord God, they're looking to the body of Christ. They're looking at us, God, to see what we're doing and see what we're doing outside of the walls, God, in the name of Jesus, God. But we thank you today, God. All those that are infected by God, we ask you, Lord God, we ask you today, God, that you continue, Lord God, to heal, God, and those that have been affected by it, God, that you cover them in your blood, the first responder, God, all those that are on the front line, God, the doctor, the nurses, the caregiver, the police, God, all of the first responder that has to go out in the midst of it, God. Oh, God, you be their protector, God. You give them the strength, God, the families, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you that you cover them in the blood, God. Lord God, we ask you that you heal our land, God. As your people cry out today, God. Lord God, we cry out day in and day out, God. Throughout the day, God, we cry out to you, Lord God. Lord God, to heal our land, the Oshakaya, God. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us of our sin, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, the Oshakaya, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you this morning, God. Lord God, and we pray for our leaders across the world, God. We pray for the president and his cabinet, God. Oh, God, Lord, that you get a hold of him, God. Lord God, that he see the masses of people, Lord God. Oh, God, that he is leading, God, with this pandemic that's going on, God. Give him the wisdom, Lord God, and what to do, Lord God. Lord God, heal our land, Lydia Oshakaya, God. Lord God, you're the only one, God, that's able, Lord God, to control, Lord God. And Lord God, annihilate this disease, God, this pandemic that's going on in the earth, Lord God. Let your people, God, how about Sake, God, let them not suffer, Lord God. Let them not suffer in the midst of this, God. Lord God, even though this pandemic is happening, God, Lord God, you are still, God, blessing. You are still healing, God. You are still providing, Lord God. Lord, you said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, God. And Lord God, they're using their wickedness, God, the Yoshikaya, God, Lord God, to take care of the just, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let not one soul, Lord God, in the midst of this, God, let them not go without, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, turn the heart of the people, God. Turn the hearts of the leader, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for the pastors, Lord God. Oh, God, the overseers and all those, God, in the Oshakaya that has a congregation, Lord God. Lord God, you see the Oshakaya, God. You see their heart, God. Lord God, you give them the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord God, of how to go out, God, in the name of Jesus, wherever it takes, God. Whatever social media they have to get on, God, let them cry loud and spare not, God, in this day and time, Lord God. Lord God, let them, God, Lord God, give them the spirit of obedience, God, to let them know, God, that they are the church, God, God. They're the church, Lord God. Even when we have to, there's a law, God, of isolation, God, of staying at home, God, of no gathering of no more than 10 people, God. Oh, God, but Lord God, give them the witty ideas, God, to use every source of social media, God, every source, God, the Oshakaya, God. Lord God, let the social media flood with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for evangelist Will, God, the Oshakaya, God. Oh, God, that you touch her body, the Oshakaya, God. Lord God, that you be with her, God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the craftiness, God, and for the witty ideals that you've given her, Nidia Oshakao, in this hour, in this opportune time, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, that you strengthen her immune system, that you strengthen her, Lord God, in every endeavor that she's doing to help the community, God, to help the men and women of God, your people, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, we thank you today even for the visionary of the line, God. Oh, God, that you continue, Lord God, to wrap your arms around him, God. Lord God, you see me, the Oshakaya, God. Lord God, you see the avenues, God, that he's in, God. You see how he's pouring out to your people, Lord God. Lord God, let him not take Oshakaya, God, the heaviness, God, the pressure of the things that's going on. Let him not take it upon Oshakaya, God. Let him not take it upon himself, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Now as we come to this end of prayer, God, Lord, we pray for the speaker, Lord God. Lord God, that you word his mouth today, Oshakaya, God. Oh God, let it the word, your word, God, come out of him like fire, God. Lord God, you say out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, God. The word that you have in his belly, Lord God, let it flow, my Nidioshakai, out of his belly, Lord God, like rivers of living water, God. Fresh water from heaven, God. Fresh manna from heaven, God. Lord God, of the people, God, that come on the line, God. The young people, God. Lord God, that are being homeschooled, God. The mothers, God. The Oshakaya, God. Lord God, you give them the patience. You give them the wisdom. Almighty, the Oshakaya, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Because we know that everything, God, it is in your hand, God. You have control of everything, God. The song that we were taught as children, you got the whole world in your hand, God. You have the whole world in your hand, God. You have everything in your hand, God. You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and end of everything, Lord God. You omnipotent, God. You're all-powerful, God. You're omniscient, God. You're everywhere at the same time, God. And Lord God, we thank you today, God. We thank you, Lord God. Lord God, that you're in the midst, God. And you touch the mind of the Oshakaya, God. Touch the mind of the people, God. And we come up against oppression, God. We come up against depression, God. We come up against the spirit of anxiety, God. We come up against the spirit of suicide, God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, as we continue to go through, God, get the devil out of our mind. In the Oshakaya, God. Get the devil out of our mind, God. On this day and this time, God, we will give you the glory. In the Oshakaya, God. We'll give you honor, God, and we will give you praise, God, because it belongs to you on this day, God, because this is the day, that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice this morning, God. We will rejoice this morning, God. We will rejoice and be glad in it, God, and we thank you this morning, God. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, we thank you because we're covered. We thank you, Lord God. God, in Jesus' name we God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, Administrator, do we have any announcements this morning?
God bless you, Evangelist Wilkes. Mother Cindy, the guest speaker that's on this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Just please keep in mind that we've embarked upon a brand new month, and we've adopted the third Sunday in every month as Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the man of God, you can do so by visiting the ministry website at www.WeRestoreTheLetterU.org or you can cash up at @RFPIM. Also, he's the author of an awesome book, Love the Unfinished Chapter. You can purchase that book on Amazon.com or visit the ministry website at WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. If you desire for Dr. Matthews to be the guest speaker at your conference, your prophetic summit, your revival, you can reach out to us at 877-912-2027, or you can email us at LaronMatthewsMinistries@gmail.com. He's also a licensed Christian counselor. We'll be more than happy to coordinate that for you as well. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Administrator, are there any questions from the chat room or the text?
We don't have any at this time, Evangelist Wilkes.
All right. All right, people of God, we're going to yield the floor to our guest speaker on this morning, Elder John Jones, powerful man of God. He has a word. He definitely has a word. If you have a question, if you don't want to be audible at the end, you can always text 334-440-6152. Again, that's 334-440-6152. All right, Elder Jones, it's in your hands.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Mother Sydney, what a very powerful, powerful prayer. Amen. There's nothing like a good wake up. You know, when you get up in the morning and you drink your coffee, amen, that was some spiritual coffee. Amen. I feel fully energized and ready to proclaim the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I praise God because of what he's doing in our lives in spite of. Amen. And I know that a lot of people are looking at this virus and looking at a lot of other things that are happening, amen, in our world, in our economy, with the nation. And let's not make any mistake. This virus is not relegated to just a health issue, but it has affected and infiltrated every part of our daily lives, and it has touched and affected and infected pretty much the entire globe. But God always has a plan. God was never caught unawares. He wasn't ambushed. No one just sprung this on him out of the blue. Amen. But God always knows what's going on, and he holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And I'm encouraged by the fact that there's nothing too hard for God, and he's bigger than any mountain, any obstacle, any disease, any virus, power. There's nothing that is greater than God, and every power must subject unto God. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I just want to thank Evangelist Carlina Wilkes for inviting us to be able to speak. Amen. And be able to give a word that I have had. Amen. It's been burning in my heart for some time, and I don't even know if Evangelist Wilkes remembers, but she asked me when I began to speak. She said, if you could, to carry on the part of the study that we had begun in our church Bible study a couple of months or so ago, where the Lord really blessed us. He came by in a mighty way as we began a talk, and we began a discussion about the battle for our minds in regards to strongholds. And particularly, I want to discuss being able to, or having the keys to destroying strongholds. And if there's ever a time, if there was ever a time in this place or in this dispensation where we needed a word from God in how to relieve ourselves from the prisons and the incarceration the strongholds have had, even now, we are surely in a battle as never before. Satan has pulled out all the stops, and he's going hard. He's going for the hearts and the minds of the people, and not just the people of the world, because most of them he has. But he's really turning his attention to the people of God. And I want to open up in two scriptures. First is Judges 6, and also from 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Judges 6 and 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. let me just say that God has been so good to us as far as our health is concerned. Our household has been protected, and for that I give God thanks for his protective power. We did we believe in the old school method of blessing your house, and we have put blessed oil upon the doorposts of our house, and we believe that God is protecting us, amen, from all threats, all dangers, natural and spiritual, to, amen, our dwelling place. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. All right, now, from the book of the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, and the first verse, we read, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. If we skip to verse 6, it says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent, not a savior, but a prophet unto the children of Israel. It said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. A stronghold is simply a seed of incorrect thinking that has sprouted into a cluster or what has become a system of wrong thinking. Whenever you begin a process of thinking wrong, that right there is where the beginnings of a stronghold is. It doesn't have to be. We look at strongholds, we look at people, and we say, well, these people have deep-seated issues, and clearly they have some complicated things going on in their lives. But everything, every stronghold you've ever observed or experienced or been a part of, it always traces back to the roots of one thought. Just one thought. One thought. One incorrect thought that gained the foothold. One inaccurate thought. One untrue thought. One false thought. And whenever a thought adds to it another thought, then we have what's called thought clusters. Those thought clusters then produce an act based upon wrong thinking. And then a behavior based upon wrong acts. And then habits that come from wrong behavior. And pretty soon, people end up continuously doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is what happened with Israel. They did well. As Paul said, you did run well. What did hinder you? It was not something abrupt or sudden. It is a gradual changing of the mind into thinking thoughts that are not of God. God, we have to be careful that we don't allow something to come and cause us to think wrong, to think negative, to think evil, to think petty, to think vindictively, to think in ways that are not of God, because these thoughts are contagious. They spread, as it will, like a virus. And so the children of Israel, as they gradually began a downward spiral of wrong thinking, they ended up doing evil, and they did enough evil. They did enough obvious evil, blatant evil, that the Lord, the Bible says, we think God physically, specifically, purposely, intentionally does things. But in this day of grace, God is really just what we call it, I've heard a pastor call it, the passive judgment of God, where the Bible says that in Romans, he turned them over to a reprobate mind, or he gave them up unto vile passion. And as the children of Israel did evil, God did him as then as he will do us sometimes, to deliver them the hand of Midian 7 years. 7 years, that is an entire Bible study within itself, and we don't have time to unpack everything in this scripture. But 7 is God's complete number. And there's something to be seen in the number 7. It is not for obliteration. 7 does not speak to annihilation, but completion, rather. Israel was on a journey of their own making because of wrong thinking. And God was beginning a process, as he always does when his children go astray, of bringing them back around. Aren't you glad that God brings us back around? There are times when we need to be chastened. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth. Now, it doesn't do good. And the people of old, they chastised after their own pleasure. But God does it for our benefit, that we may yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And that is of the mercy and grace of God. That's because of the love and the kindness and the compassion of God, that we are not consumed, but because of his faithfulness. And the Bible says, great is his faithfulness unto us. He brings us back, not from those things out there, because we always see the wrong in other people and other things, but from those things in here. And the children of Israel, the Bible says, they were isolated or relegated because this enemy, this threat that came up out of the blue, Midian, prevailed against them. Midian was not a threat beforehand. It just came out of the blue, just abruptly. Looked up, everything was going fine, and all of a sudden, nothing. Look up, and everything is doing well, and all of a sudden, no job. Marriage on the rocks. Children can't act right. Midian is acting up. But like we always do, and have a mental illness of sorts, we all have struggled with the idea, the notion, the concept, the disease of sin. And sin is infectious. And sin will spread rapidly. And what happened when Israel began to experience the persecution of the Midianites? The Bible says in the second verse, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains. In other words, they isolated, they quarantined themselves away from society, away from civilization, away from normals, away from the things that matter, away from the things that are familiar, and they could not be themselves. You know that sin causes you to act out of character. Sin causes you not to be yourself. Sin causes you to do things, act in ways that are not convenient. And we see that this is what happened. Israel began to congregate in isolated places, in mountains, caves, and strongholds. The strongholds were created to protect them. They didn't go up there to imprison themselves. They didn't go into the mountains to incarcerate themselves. They were doing it as a matter of safety. They were doing it because they wanted to be free of Midian. But what this had done, it had caused them to isolate themselves so much so that this fortification, this place they had erected to be a place of safety, had actually become a place of imprisonment. And that's exactly what a stronghold does. It doesn't just isolate us. It imprisons us. And it always starts with a thought. Beware lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Those incorrect thoughts have got to be stopped. Stopped in their tracks. Otherwise, they begin to cluster and cause problems for us. And they don't necessarily start as thinking, as looking like incorrect thoughts. Oftentimes when things happen in our lives, we think logically. And we think that our logical thinking just makes sense. But oftentimes, the way we are thinking is not logical. But there is a chess game, if you will, that is going on in an invisible way, and we cannot see it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For though we walk in the natural, for though we experience things that our eyes can see and our ears can hear, that our mouths can taste, that our bodies can feel and touch, our ears can hear, we do not war in what we see, hear, and feel. We are not waging war according to the flesh." In other words, we're not fighting with concrete things, with tactile things, with things that are within the realm of our senses. Why? Because our weapons and the weapons of our warfare are not natural. We don't use bullets and guns. We don't use spears and axes and shields. But even beyond that, we don't use political systems and monetary systems. But we are operating in an unseen realm, in an invisible world. And because our war is in the spirit, it is foolish to use fleshly weapons because they don't work. It's like trying to shoot a gun at a ghost. You don't have any effect on a spirit because a spirit cannot be touched with flesh and blood. But that is where our war is. It is in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. That's where the devil desires to take us down. It's in the spirit realm. And where is your spirit? It is in the recesses of your mind. It is your mind that the devil wants. It's not your body. It's not all of the things that you think are important. Some people say, well, the devil's trying to take my car. The devil's trying to take my house. The devil doesn't care about your car. The devil's not concerned with your house. The devil is a spirit. He doesn't need things. He doesn't need stuff. The reason he uses those things to put your mind. Your mind. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It is in your mind that you begin to house attitudes, and it is in your mind that you begin to entertain the wrong spirit. It is in your mind that the devil begins to wage warfare and begins to distract you or derail you or to take you down from your position of spirituality. It is through your mind that the devil begins to attack you and to bring things like worry, anxiety, and to bring things like guilt and shame, and to bring things like fear. These things are all the beginnings of strongholds. And a stronghold can be a worldview. A stronghold can be a personal attitude. A stronghold can be just something that you assumed that may not be correct. That's where the beginning of a stronghold is. And when you begin to invest in it, when you begin to put all your thoughts and your heart into it, you begin to increase the power of that stronghold over you. It may feel safe at first, but nurture those strongholds, just like you would nurture a baby. But then after a while, you look at that baby and realize it's not a baby at all, it's a monster. And you've been nurturing a monster. What makes a stronghold a monster? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 5, casting down imagination. And every high thing. What makes a thing high? Well, this tells us its relative position to God is what makes something high. Cast down every high thing. High because it exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that puts itself in the place that God used to occupy, anything that makes itself greater than God, anything that has taken up or filled in the space you used to reserve for God, anything you invest time that used to go to God, that is a high thing. That is a thing that was set up to replace God. If you look at all of the evil kings throughout Israel's history, the Bible continues to talk about one in particular. And this quite with other evil kings. In fact, the king is not referred to as someone who was as wicked as Ahab. But this king was Jeroboam. In the Bible, whenever an evil king or even a good king came along, it compared these kings to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who the first king to institute the high places from Dan to Beersheba. These high places were places that people could go to worship whoever they wanted to. I'm not saying you can't worship God, but you can worship other things as well. That's a stronghold in itself, that spirit of relativity. In other words, I don't believe that anybody's necessarily wrong. Everybody's right to some extent. In fact, we need to provide equal opportunity for every religious belief and every religious opinion and every religious thought. The stronghold comes not from attacking spiritual things, but just from making spiritual things less relevant. And whenever we make something spiritual, something that has to do with attracting us to God, whenever we make it less important, that right there is the stronghold. Because right now you're saying that God is not, I'm not saying he's not important, I'm just saying he's not all time. He's not the ultimate. And we have brought God down from his perch. And we have set other things just, for some of us, just right under God. For others of us, we have set things equal to God. And then some of us have put things above God. Now you may say, well, I would never worship anything before God, or I would never give anything more credit than I give God. No, but the time you spend doing those things shows that you have erected other idols, just as Israel, who had done evil in the sight of the Lord, had erected an idol, and it was a cursed idol that God couldn't stand, and the name of it was Baal. And although we do not worship literal statues, some of us have Baals in our own home. Yes, we do. We have Baals in our own home. And if you read down in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, where we had just left, and we've just been reading, if you go down to about the 25th verse, you see that God told Gideon some very important instructions. Because you see, I'm going to say this, oftentimes when we get into trouble, we will cry into the Lord. And we'll say, God, save us. Bring us out. But if we haven't dealt with the things that got us into trouble in the first place, God is not going to bring deliverance or salvation. You see, what Israel did when they got in trouble with Midian is they cried unto the Lord looking for a savior. And God instead gave them a prophet. Before God ever delivers you out of your mess, he wants you to accept and own or be responsible for what got you in it in the first place. And that is why God didn't give Israel a savior. He first gave them a prophet, somebody who would point the way to their salvation, but to their sin. And that is what there's been so many times that I have preached a sermon, and I've been at the end of the sermon, I'm opening up the altar call, and the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me and telling me what is going on. And as I come down to pray for an individual, the Lord is showing me what their issue is. But this person steps all around the issue and asks for all types of things that have nothing to do with why they should have been down at the altar in the first place. And they're asking for God to touch their body and bring healing. And they're asking for God to give them a job. And they're asking for God to do this, bless Johnny down the street and bless my 32nd cousin. And I want to say so badly, but what about what's in your house? What is it that you want God to do specifically for you? What is it that you are plagued by, incarcerated by? What is it that has persecuted you? What is it that haunts you at night that God has shown me is a stronghold in your life? What is it that you won't let go and you can't see because you've got a blind spot? Strongholds will cause you to act in ways that are not
all right with God. Israel couldn't be themselves. They couldn't even thresh openly. When you thresh, you're supposed to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you do it in an open place where there's a lot of wind so that the wind will drive the chaff away and you'll have the purity of the wheat. But as we saw Gideon, we find him hiding by a wine press. That's not where you chaff. That's not where you thresh wheat. That's not where you do the work of the farmer. Oftentimes we do work, but it's not being done according to God's ordinance because we have issues in our life that prevent us from being fully effective, and our anointing is hindered by the stronghold. So God began to attack the stronghold, and in the 21st verse, he says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal." That right there was Israel's problem. That was the reason for the dens and the mountains, the caves and the strongholds. Israel had a Baal problem. Before they could deal with their Midian problem, they had to deal with their Baal problem. When we want to see God bless our land and heal us and save our loved ones and bring us out of this mess that we're in, we want to see God deliver us from the coronavirus and the effects of it. We want to see God touch our hearts and our minds and our lives. But we want to see God do works that he's never done before. We want to see him pour out from the windows of heaven ridiculous blessings that they're not good enough to receive. We've got to deal with the issues in our house. And maybe we are completely vested in committing the sin, but we've allowed it to stand within our house. There are things going on in our houses that have no business being in a house that is dedicated to God. There are things that people in our houses see and hear and look at. There are idols and statues that we have erected or that people in our house have erected. And God is saying, if you're going to be effective, I want you to throw down that idol. If you want to get rid of your mental illness, your mental blocks, if you want to deal with anguish and worry and insomnia and sleep apnea, if you want to deal with depression, if you want to deal with a host of ailments and diseases, issues, and strange chronic conditions that you think are physical, and it's not physical at all. It's spiritual because your body, it's psychosomatic, mind and body. Psyche means mind, soma means body, and we are body spirits going around the earth. And oftentimes when something plagues the psyche, it affects the soma. When something affects the mind, then it also affects or infects the body. And if we can clear up the mental illness, we can clear up the physical illness. And oftentimes the problem that you have, the reason the doctor hasn't been able to deal with it, and they give you one drug or one prescription and they replace it with a more expensive one, is because your problem is not physical, but it's spiritual. Because the weapons that are warring against you are in the spirit. And so we have to understand that we have to fight fire with fire, and you cannot fight a spiritual war with fleshly weapons. Get rid of the hindrance. Get rid of what is keeping God from having his way in your life. Throw down the altar of Baal in your house. We need to throw down the altar of Baal in our house. It may be a 60-inch flat screen. It may be what we look on the computer at night. And nobody is up and everyone's sleeping. A stronghold may be what we do all day long. There's nothing to do because the coronavirus has caused them to lay off people on our jobs. And so we sit at home all day scrolling through Facebook. And Facebook has become Baal. Mm-hmm. Social media platforms have become Baal. TV has become Baal. Our children can become our Baal. But whatever exalts itself against the knowledge of God must be thrown down. And God told Gideon to do something, and he knew when he told him that it wasn't going to be easy. He said, I want you to throw down the altar of Baal, that thy father has. Now, you have to understand Gideon's firstborn. He wasn't the firstborn, secondborn, or tenthborn. He was the last one born. Gideon was the baby of the family. And in Israel's time, the last one born had no authority, no weight, no power. They were the least one born and the least one regarded in the eyes of the family. But God had told Gideon precisely, and that's how God does. He takes the least and uses them to do his benefit. But he told him, I want you to cut down the altar of Baal that your father has, this eyesore, this monstrosity, this insult to my presence, to my divinity, and to my authority. Is there anything that we need to repent about that we have insulted God with? Is there anything that we need to repent about that we have, and it wasn't just the title, but it was the grove that gave power to it. There is a motivation for the idol that's in your house. Nobody just says, you know what, I think I just want to insult God and put something in his place. I just want to take a high thing and just exalt it against the knowledge of God. Let's do that today. I've never heard anybody say it. Nobody does that. But there is a spirit, because our flesh is in collusion or in conspiracy with Satan to undermine the presence and power of God. So we don't just cut down the thing that is the object of our affection, but we must cut down the thing that motivates it. We must cut down the thing that motivates it. And that's what we have to understand. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it said that we need down every imagination, every stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything in your life can be a stronghold. It can be resentment, it can be insecurity, it can be vindictiveness and pettiness. All these things can be strong. It can be a world view, a way of looking at life that is just not correct. And the world is constantly feeding us things that are not true and go against God's word. These things have perched themselves above the knowledge of God. But there are some things that we can do. There are some principles, three principles, that we can engage or embrace in that will keep us from understanding in a wrong way, from engaging in a stronghold. Three principles for taking back our minds. Three principles for winning the battle for our souls. Three principles that if you follow them, it will give you the power to get rid of every stronghold. It will give you the power to take back your position of authority and power in God. The first principle, don't trust your mind. Don't trust your mind. That's why the scriptures say, Paul told the Colossians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you can't trust your mind. That's why you can't have your mind. You can't use your mind. I don't care how smart you are. Your intelligence can register off the scale. But that does not mean that you have the spiritual intelligence of an infant. Your natural mind. That is why you have to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Don't trust your mind. Take on the mind of Christ. That's principle number one. Take on the mind of Christ. Don't trust your mind. Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's because the mind is influenced by the natural. The devil knows that it's vulnerable, so he's constantly sending little sweet nothings. He's constantly putting things in our mind and our thoughts, and the devil will oftentimes give us thoughts that are in line with how we naturally think. And he's been observing that because he listens to what comes out of our mouth. Can't say everything that comes out of your mouth. You can't speak everything that you're thinking. The Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. You can't say everything that comes to your mind, and you can't trust your mind because your mind will tell on you. You know, our mind, the Bible says it can be a depraved mind, a dull mind, a corrupt mind, a troubled mind. whenever we say, oh, it's not that bad, it usually is. And my mind tells you, I'm fine, I'm all right. There's other people worse than me. That's misunderstanding the situation. And we all have blind spots, all of us. We are all blinded because we all have a self-centered mechanism. And that self-centered mechanism has to constantly be defeated. Paul said, I die daily. That means he had to take control of his mind every single day. He could not trust that his mind was saying the right thing, doing the right thing, or thinking the right thing. And it's the famous adage is, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It's your mind that houses your spirit and your soul. It is your mind that is going to heaven or hell. In fact, the only reason you have a body is to carry your mind around. Principle number two, your mind. We talk about the mind and body being connected. And we need to do some things to make sure that our mind is protected. In the same way you protect yourself from a virus or disease, they tell you to eat right, get plenty of sleep, plenty of liquids and fluids. Take some supplements, strengthen your body's immune response. We have to strengthen our spiritual mind response to the attacks and the viruses of Satan. Feed your mind. Become educated. People, even in the body of Christ, they're afraid of knowledge. They're afraid that learning will make them mad. And so they're afraid to educate. Don't ever be afraid to educate your mind. And I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about good, wholesome books that will cause your mind and your thinking to stretch in holy and heavenly ways. Feed your mind. There are many good books by many great authors and people who have been dedicated, and their writings are just as much a ministry as preaching. Ask God to lead you. Lord, what should I feed my mind? What should I feed my mind? Oftentimes when we educate ourselves, we understand better. And if we understand better, we do better. When we feed our mind, we also have to feed our spirit. We pray each and every day. We commune with God. And we don't just come to God with a laundry list of things we want God to do. Lord, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And some of us, we have a really bad long time. We're doing all of the speaking. But prayer is actually a conversation. Prayer is a model single one, not a final model speaking, but it's a dialogue between two persons, you and God. And when you have prayed, the most important part of the prayer is when you shut up. Most important part of your prayer is when you stop talking. Because that's when God speaks. And though he may not speak to you auditorily, God will fill your mind and then nourish your spirit. So when you commune with God, it is a spirit-strengthening exercise. God begins to go to work, and he begins to take out the things that don't belong. And sometimes God will shake you up a little bit when you begin to worship. I see people worship all the time, and some folks look like they're shaken up. They look like they lost their last friend. Some folks are shaking and writhing and doing all types of things that makes them songs on his outside. And what God is doing, he's causing them to undergo a quaking or a shaking. And when you worship God, sometimes you do become shaken. That's what happened with Isaiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 6 that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw and saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And when Isaiah collided with an experience, a palpable move and a feel of God, it hurt him. Everything that happens to you when you collide with God is not always your pleasure, because there's some things inside of us that have got to go. And your mortality meets God's divinity, some things inside of you have got to go. And your sinful thinking, when your wrongs will judge you, when all of the brokenness of you comes up against God and you really feel his presence, there's some things in you that's got to go that it may feel unpleasant because part of you don't want to give it up. But when you commune and worship with God, he begins to shake you. you until everything that doesn't belong falls off. Then he begins the process of strengthening the things that remain. Strengthening, strengthening, strengthening your confidence, strengthening your faith. I shook off your worry. I shook off your anxiety. When you communed with me, I shook off your fear. I shook off your doubt. I shook off all the things that you have struggled with. I shook off the issues you struggle with since childhood. I shook them off. I bind those things in the name of Jesus. Those things that have plagued you from the time you was a little child, a little girl, a little boy, and they still work on you right now. I command you to go into present communion with God and let God just shake them off. Let him shake them off. And as he shakes them off, he begins to strengthen what's left. Your faith, your love, your compassion, your confidence, things you didn't know was in you because it was buried under strongholds. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. But then we also need to feed our bodies the right foods, the right natural foods. Some folks don't think this is spiritual, but it is. Indirectly, what you feed your body affects how you feel emotionally. You could put a whole lot of things in your body, gluten, sugar, and all this other stuff. It affects how you feel, makes you grumpy, makes you tired, and by that extent, your mind. So we have to make sure that not only are we eating right, make sure you get sunshine, fresh air. I've heard that it's very good to go outside after a rain, right after the rain. There's something in the air that is magnetizing, is good for our spirit. Fresh air, exercise, get up and move. Your mind thinks better when the blood is flowing. You think better, work better, you act better. I often tell, as I work in education, the children to get up and move. I tell my kids to go outside and bounce in the trampoline. Get your blood flowing because your mind, your spirit, and your body are all connected. And the last principle before I close, the last principle is take legal ownership of your mind. Don't assume that you have your mind. Don't assume that you have your mind. And the reason why our mind is filled with garbage is because the devil has owned large portions of our mind that we have given over to him for a long time. And it has minimized our effectiveness in ministry, and it has kept us from doing God's will. It has kept us from living for God and being used of God in ways God wants to. Now, some of us think, well, what we've done is good enough. And God said, no, I have more for you. You're only operating small, microscopic fraction of your potential. Because I have so much more for you because I have so much that I want you to do. So many more people I want you to reach. And you've allowed the devil to occupy vast territory in your mind. You have to legally take back ownership of your mind because God operates in order. And believe it or not, the devil operates in order. He understands the chain of command. He understands that there are certain things he cannot do because God's power is great. If you look at how he dealt with Job, he had to ask permission before he could play Job because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you need to use the greater power you have to take back ownership of your mind. Every part, every resource, those areas in your mind and in your heart where you're controlled by fear. And some of us have a strong fear. And you know, some of us, it makes us feel guilty because we know that God has not given us the freedom. And we know that those fears do not come from God, but we see them. Sit up and watch them scary movies. Defeating the beast. Anytime you have a weakness in your spirit and you see it, shame on you. You are giving the devil the right to control your mind. That legal ownership of your mind. And in order to do that, we have to do just like the old folks used to say, give the devil back his goods. That doesn't belong in your house anyway. Anything X-rated, R-rated, anything overrated, give it back. Anything that does not belong in your mind, your spirit, your body, your house, take that bearish thing and cast it down. I say, I give this back to you, devil. You may have to speak to him and say, devil, I give you back. You can have it. I don't want it anymore. Because this thing right here to manipulate me. You allow me to have this stuff not because you care about me, but because you want to control me and eventually ruin me. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what Jesus said? I have come that you might have life. And here is more abundantly, and I speak life to everyone that hears me now. I speak life into your situation. I speak life into you right now, into your home, into your marriage. I speak life into your relationships that are of God. I speak life. I speak life into your work ethic, into your ministry, into your gift. I speak life. I speak life into your assignment. I speak life. God has set you on a path. Don't let the devil be real. Give him back everything, everything that he's given to you. He's bargained with you. He's bargained with you. And that's the reason you've not been effective. Give him back everything. And take your mind back. And let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. And if you do those things, don't trust your mind. Take on the mind of Christ. Protect your mind by feeding your mind, spirit, and body, and taking legal ownership of your mind back, you have the keys to destroying strongholds that have hurt you and minimized your effectiveness and ruined your anointing. And you can be the powerful man or woman of God that God has ordained from the beginning. Amen. God bless you.
All right. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, administrator, give us a commercial. Any announcements? Then we're going to come back and open up the floor for questions and comments.
Glory. Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paved for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestoretheletteru.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist Wilkes. As stated earlier, please keep in mind that we've adopted the third Sunday and every month as Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the men of God, please feel free to visit the ministry website at www.werestoretheletteru.org, or you can cash up at money sign RFPIM. We welcome all the listeners that's listening in the chat room this morning. The statements are what a powerful word that you bless them on this morning, men of God. And we don't have any direct questions at this time.
All right, people of God, we're going to open up the floor. Amen. You're in the chat room on the blog side, the international side. You can press 1 on the dial of your phone, and you can be put into the queue. The administrator will let us know that you're there. You can do a comment there. If you are on the conference line, you can start fix your line or either side. You don't want to be audible. You can text 334
334-440-6152. That's 334-440-6152. Elder Joe, my God. I'm telling you, I'm excited this morning. Hallelujah. Talk about them strongholds. You made a comment about feeding the mind. And the Bible commands us to think on those things that are lovely, think on those things that are pure. And so if we're going to feed, you know, whatever man we feed, if we feed him, if we feed the flesh and not feed the spirit, guess who? The strongholds.
Lord Jesus.
Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the prophet said, I'm about to run down the street. If we feed whoever, whatever we feed, hallelujah, that's the one that's going to be the one that's in control. So we feed the spirit man more so than we feed the strong man. Oh, my God. Mm. Ooh, I'm full. My cup is running over. Oh, my. Y'all know, it don't take much for me. Hey, glory to my son. Oh, God, hallelujah. I mean, this is my second go-around with this one. But I tell you what, hallelujah, I enjoyed it immensely. So anyone has questions or comment for Elder Jones?
Amen. Amen.
Come
what
on,
a
mother.
What a word this morning. I tell you, morning manna. It was good. It was a good, you know. It depends on what type of breakfast, amen, that you eat in the morning time that will hold you. I'm like, this will hold me to lunchtime. This had substance to it. Amen. I thought about how he talked about the mind, and I thought about growing up, how parents would say, itemize the devil workshop. Itemize the devil workshop. And it is so true. Because the devil take hold of your mind, he'll put thoughts in your mind. And one thing that I liked is what, how we could allow other things to be an idol. And too much of anything will become an idol. Glory to God. I'm like, oh, my God, we have to be careful for nothing. I tell you, we have to be careful for nothing. We just can't give ourselves away to everything and anything. We have to keep ourselves hidden. We have to keep ourselves available to God. And this Elder, this was a rich word. I tell you, this was a rich word. Make me think back when Bishop Patterson was alive. And when we used to go to our convocation, and he's the one that started the morning manna. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get the morning manna. I went to morning manna. After morning manna, I didn't need nothing else. I didn't need anything else. And sometimes I went back to the night service. But I didn't stay late because I wanted to get up early for that morning manna. Because that morning manna, it took me through the whole day. It was so powerful. And this word that you have given us today, it's going to take me. It's going to take me throughout the day. Glory to God. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to feast upon it. I'm like, God, I have strength now, God. I'm going down and work out in the yard and pull up a little weeds and kind of do a little things. I said, oh, my God, this is good. Get off the prayer line, you know, I would go back to sleep. I'm like, I ain't going back to sleep. I said, I'm so wide awake. I said, I got the word. I said, my mind has been stirred up. I said, I have to move. I got to keep it moving. Glory to God. And this is what the word of God does for us. It gives us nourishment for our body to help it to live. Amen. It helps us to live. It says the latter kill it, but it's the spirit that gives life to the word of God. And I tell you, the fire of the Holy Ghost, it came out of your belly today. Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm like, my God. I said, he sounds like an old head. Amen. Glory to God. I said, the wisdom that came about you, I sound like you're old. I said, but then listen to the voice. I said, he sound young. I said, but it doesn't matter. He had the word. Glory to God. You had the word. You got the word this morning. I tell you, glory to God. All I can do is say, thank you, Jesus. Feed me. until I want no more. Just feed me until I want no more. They say, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And that's exactly what God is doing for us on this day. I tell you, my God, from Zion, I'm going to go on mute. As Evangelist Look, I was up and I go on mute. Bye, Pastor King. Thank you, Jesus.
Mother, that comes from parents, and his mother was a pastor. And I believe your father was too, Elder.
Yes, yes. My father pastored. He founded a work in Anderson, Indiana. And my mother pastored for over 20-some years.
Okay, and then he pastored
after that.
Okay.
He is young, but he has wisdom. And I'm telling you, he's one of our youth teachers.
I can hear it.
Amen. But it's just it's wonderful. Him and his wife is just a beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
couple in the Lord. And they just, oh, my gosh. It's just and they'll fire for God.
I'm like, oh, my God. I said, Lord, I could sit to see, amen, and listen to this young man here. I said, I hear something. Substance. I'm like, it ain't no junk food. That's some substance. Oh, my God. It's a whole. You know how when our mothers growing up, what would wake me up in the morning time, I would smell the bacon. I would smell the bacon. I smell the coffee. And then I'd be the first one she'd call. I'm like, why she call me? I always call me early in the morning. She know I can hear her. And so anyway, I'm like, wow, go downstairs. There's the fresh biscuits. She got the bacon. She got the grits. She got the eggs. She might have some rice because everybody don't eat the grits. Amen. And I'm telling you, she have the jelly, the honey, all of that. I'm like, woo, glory to God. And I will always get the first. And then I will get the best. Glory to God. I tell you, I got the first this morning. And I got the best this morning. So they're the first. Hey, my God. I ain't got to go back. Oh, I'm missing. I can listen to it. I'm like, I got the rhema word. I was able to get it this morning. And it was good. It was truly, truly good. Thank the Lord. You know, it is something when you pour out so much. And then somebody else start pouring out, and you just receive it. I'm like, God, this is what I need. I said, this is the type of breakfast I need. This glory to God. This is the type of breakfast I need this morning. Glory to God. I need breakfast this morning. God bless you, and God strengthen you, man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Is there anyone else, question or comment? Log side or the conference line. If you're on the conference line, you can start 6. I'm right on the end. Hey, the song, Ella Jones said, it's a bubbling in my soul. I feel the spirit. Hey,
God. Hallelujah.
Since Jesus is in control. Some people don't understand it. But this is one thing that I know. It's a bubbling. It's a bubbling. Come on. You're awesome. It's a bubbling in my soul. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm animated, Elder Jones. Of course, you know that. Hallelujah. I'm animated in the mornings. Hallelujah. Because the word of God, it does. It's better than the cream in your coffee. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. It's better than that Grand Slam at Denny's or Big Boys or whoever else. I'm telling you, this word, I thank you. I thank you because you know what? When you first taught this in Bible study,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Lord, I thought about the history that you was given about how they got into that condition.
Yes.
And most of the time, you know, like you said, the people don't look at the history.
Right.
How they get in the conditions that the they don't look at the conditions, the history of how they got there. They just know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go to the root And this is what caused them not to be delivered of the stronghold, because they don't deal, like you said, they don't deal with the root of the source of why they're there. And so when you deal with the root, that's why sometimes when we're binding and everything, we got to curse those things at the root. Because, see, my best friend, she said, Colleen, I ain't never heard nobody say curse it at the root. I said, well, what you can bind up all you want to, but it's going to come back. But when you curse that thing at the root, it's going to die. It's going to die. It's going to be annihilated. See, this. I'm going into demonology, but here, this is some things that we have to understand. And these are the things that the saints of God, hallelujah, we are not. We do patchwork. The patchwork is only done because, like you said, we're dealing with it from a surface thing. We're dealing with our emotions. We're dealing with it with the things that we think of our own understanding. But he told us not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to do what? Acknowledge Him. If we acknowledge Him, for Him to direct our path. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained by Him. But we can't do what we want to do and think it's going to work when we try to deal with strongholds such as the things that we do. Now, when we get ourselves in the fix, we holler. I was telling somebody yesterday, they were saying, one of the other ministers I was talking to from the church, I said, people, they want to holler, oh, God, stop the virus. Y'all saying that now because why? You want Him to fix it, so you won't suffer. Oh, come on, somebody. I know people have died, and I'm not being insensitive to that because I am sensitive to that. But what about what God wants? You guys hear me say all the time, He don't want no part-time lover. He not a sugar daddy, a sugar mama, or a genie in the lamp. He is the Almighty God. And the first commandment that He gave to Moses is, thou shalt not have no other God before me. And you brought that out this morning, hallelujah, because they worship other gods. They got themselves in a fix. And then after they got themselves in a fix, and then they finally see they couldn't get out, then they come crying to God. But sometimes God has to leave us in our mess.
Right.
He got to leave us in our mess for a while so that we can learn the lesson not to go over there anymore. And see, if he deliver us right then and there, He know we're going to go back. He's not a stupid guy. He's not matter of fact, all wisdom and knowledge come from Him. Oh, God, hallelujah, glory be to God. I'm not trying to reteach this lesson because you did a wonderful job. But this is icing on the cake, on top of the icing on the cake. When we learn how to get rid of the stronghold, and the roots of things that causes us to be out of place and out of sync with God, and God had to do something to get our attention. He did it for many of the children. He let them go, the children of Israel, go in exile so many times because they was not trying to do right. They would do right for only a little bit. And that, and if you look at our condition in the world today, everybody was turning to prayer. Columbine shooting, people was turning to prayer. The bombing in Oklahoma, people was turning to prayer. The nation was coming together. After that, what happened? People started acting willy-nilly, doing all kind of foolishness, doing their shenanigans. They weren't thinking about God because they wanted a patchwork for their situation. But God is not about patchwork. But He said He come to make us what? Whole. Not just part-time. Oh, my God. My God. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Y'all still Elder, I'm telling you, you done set me on fire. I'm like, Mother Sydney, I'm going to chew on this. I'm going to go back and listen to the recording again. Woo! Later. Because it's good to me. It's good to me. It's good to me. Administrator, is there any other comments or questions on that side?
No, ma'am, our lines are clear at this time.
All right, y'all. Oh, glory. You know what? They ain't got to eat the breakfast because I'm sure going to eat it. You know what? I seen my little cousins last night. They were sitting in at the table as I fixed the dinner. I'm using this analogy so you can get something from it. And I saw the oldest boy, and he wasn't trying to eat his food, but he was the first one come and say, I'm hungry. He said, we hungry. Cousin Granny, we hungry. I said, okay. So I fixed the food, gave him some nice baked chicken, gave him some cauliflower, gave him some beans. They was like, okay, he didn't want to eat that. Mm-mm. So his little brother reached over his plate and got his chicken wing and put it on his plate. I looked over there, I said, why your brother eating your chicken? He said, I don't know. I'm asking you this morning, why y'all don't want this food? Because I'm sure I'm going to eat it for you. Glory to God. I'm going to take it off your plate, and I'm going to put it on mine. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. You know what? Elder Jones, thank you again, man of God. I'm excited. I'm looking for the third Friday now. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's a bar two, whatever God gives you, you come on with it. Hallelujah. Come with it. Because I know you have blessed the evangelist this morning. All right, people of God, is there anyone on the conference line? This your time? Don't. Oh, glory. Don't say, she just cut me off. No, come on. 5-6, that line, come on in.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
My God. All right. No one else has questions or comments. Elder, do you have anything else to say this morning?
Amen. I just want to say I thank you, Evangelist Wilkes, for this has been a great thing for me as well. Because, you know, I'm not just food, but I'm eating as well. And God has really blessed this thing for me. And I'm praying for the prosperity of this broadcast and that you go far and God continue to prosper your way. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much.
All right. You're so welcome, Elder. Amen. All right, Administrator. You know, I'm telling you, I am not, let me say this, and I'm going to let it go. I am not putting on. And if somebody says, why is she doing that putting on? I can hear you. This is not a put on. Mother, they can tell you, administrator can tell you, I've been doing this for years. Pastor Brown said, oh, no, she's like, what in the world is this girl on? I told her, I'm on Jesus. That's what I'm on. And see, when the Lord is inside of you, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That ain't no just cliche. When the joy of the Lord gets down in your belly, you can't help but to overflow. You can't help but to be joyous. You can't help but to be happy. As Pastor used to say when we first come on, happy, 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 and then he would start laughing. You can't help it. This is what God loves, for us to have the peace. He loves for us to be joyous in him. He loves for us to be embraced and embrace him. So I thank him on today for just being that kind of God. Brother Jones, you want to close us out in prayer? Amen.
Yes.
Pray in the spirit of the Lord leads you. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to, yes, close them out in prayer. Amen.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you for this great day. Great because you have made it. And you have created all things richly for us to enjoy. Lord God, we thank you that you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. We thank you that you've given us our right mind, clothed us in that mind, and also have blessed us with breath, oh God, and blood circulating warm in our veins.
Lord God, we thank you for all the things that you have blessed us with and given us the opportunities. Oh, Lord, it is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. We thank you for the greatness of your faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Oh, God, we ask right now that you touch every person that is on this broadcast. Oh, God, even nationally, Lord God. Amen. Touch the prophet Matthew, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that you bless Evangelist Wilkes, Lord God, to apply, oh, God, and prosper their way and their ministry, oh, God, and the effectiveness of this broadcast and reaching out to others, oh, God, throughout the world. Lord Jesus, I pray that every person, oh God, under the sound of my voice, be protected from this virus, oh God, and from any other outbreak or pandemic. I pray, oh God, that you would let the death angel pass over them, oh God, as the blood of Christ. I pray right now that, oh God, even as we deliver Israel from Midian, oh God. Oh God, when they blew their trumpet, Lord Jesus,
yes,
they received victory, oh God. Help us, oh God, to proclaim that victory right now. We bind every spirit to be cast out. The Midian's fall from the underworld of hell. Oh God, we ask for your help, oh God, from the sanctuary of heaven. Strengthen us even as we go from this place, but never from your presence. All of these things we ask in the marvelous, the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Ooh, glory to Jesus. All right, people of God, we're signing off, and we pray that you have a blessed, blessed, blessed weekend. Amen. Join us in the morning for Prophet Simmons and Prophetess Simmons. I mean, Apostle Simmons and Prophet Simmons, Prophetess Simmons in the morning for the marriage forum. Amen, 5 a.m. Central Standard Time, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. Come see what you don't have to be married just to join in. Amen. If you're thinking about marriage or you had a broken marriage or whatever, join the marriage forum in the morning. You will be blessed by the man and woman of God. Hallelujah. Administrator, it's in your hands. Glory to God.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrating
your
down.
Raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
ready and